I greet you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Brother Nzima, Mzati Tandizako interpreting. So you are all welcome. Today is our first day meeting here. So we desire to have a crusade in this area.
Amen.
But this is a good start. It's a good
Amen.
Number to start with.
Amen.
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 So, but in the near future, we were hoping to have it soon, but because of the rains, we'll try to hang a tent out there so that many others who desire to hear the word of God can hear. So our precious brother had mentioned something. We are not a denomination. We just love the word of God. And we have brothers and sisters in different places. What is important is for you to repent your sins and live a true Christian life.
Amen.
That is what is important.
Amen.
Okay? I want us to look at a message. Thou fool. Why God called the rich man a fool? To respect the word of God, we shall stand as we read. Now, as we read, I'll ask you a question. This rich man we're about to read, he mentioned five my. He mentioned five things he called my. So I'm going to read the passage and I want you to be able to count what are the things he called my. We shall read from Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Now, I want you to be free. Don't feel like a visitor. There's no such a thing. There's no visitor here. We are just brothers and sisters. If you don't have a Bible, tell me next Sunday, I'll bring you a new Bible. May I see those who need a new Bible? Those who need a new Bible? Okay, God bless you. You, Sister Chilufia, you have a Bible, you are raising your hand. Okay, so we'll count at the end so that everyone can have a Bible. We already have the Bibles, it's just a matter of giving it to you. Now, we're going to read Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. As we are reading, do you remember the question I said? I want you to count the things this man called my. All right, so I'll read and pay attention. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I'll put down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to come and worship, Lord, before you. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Forgive us our sins. We come into your presence desiring that you may speak into our lives. We lay aside every form of business. We come humbly before you, O God, as your children. Speak to our hearts, Father. If there be any who is sick or unwell, heal them. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Okay. How many did you count? How many my did you count? Sorry? Four things? Sister Nzima? Four? Mrs. Kaira? Huh? Four. Okay. We shall see it as we read. Amen. Now, this man was doing farming. Now, you know what farmers do? When they harvest, if you plant maize and you harvest, what do? You put them in a barn. What do you call that? When they plant, they farm, then they put in that chikukumba, is it? Or chiluru. Yeah. Now, this man we read about, listen to what he did. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So he planted and it was a great harvest. Now, when you have a big harvest, it means you need to have many barns. Quite the way they've said it. That's Bemba. Chiru, right? Or what was the other name the two sisters mentioned? So chitanda uzakutinga timwali mamiri zambiri navo evo nishimuzafani kampange vikulu, isn't it? O kapena vambiri, right? So now in English it is called a barn. Okay, that is why you keep all these things. So this rich man, he had a good harvest. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. My? That's the first thing. Can we all say my fruits? What is a fruit? A fruit is a result of your labor. If you plant a lot of maize and you reap a lot of maize, well, that's a lot. That's your fruit. And this man said, my fruits. That's the first my, he said. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. Now, do you realize at the end God called him thou fool? Listen, the question is, why did God call him a fool? You will know it when you discover the fifth my. Now, let's read. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. My barns, I'll pull them down. What was the reason? Why does he want to bring them down? And build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits. And my. Now let us count the mice so far. The first one was my. My fruits. What was the second? My barns. Virul. Number three. My. I can't hear you. My. That's number three. Well, there is a fourth thing he said. Verse 19. And I will say to this man really loved my. He was full of my fruits, my bands, my goods, my soul. Now there's another my. We'll see it as we move. But let us look at the first one. Do you notice the scripture begins by saying, he spake, in verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man. Kapenantaka. Brought forth plentifully. Can I ask you a question? Who causes the ground to bring forth things? Right now the rains are starting. You can buy fertilizer. You can put manure. But who causes things to grow? It's God, right? Is that correct? Let's read Genesis 1, verse 11 to 12. You see, it is God who spoke plants to start coming up from the ground. But because we see it every day, we don't see it as a miracle. If you ever want to see a miracle in your life, just look around. Look at the beautiful trees around. Every single tree you are seeing is a miracle. When was the first miracle? In our time span here? Let's see. In Genesis 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth And it was so. So you see, God says, let every tree bring forth fruit. God spoke the word. And a tree manifested, and it produced fruit. You, a human being, God put you on earth, and this mango tree is in your yard. So you say, my fruit. Well, it is your tree, sure, but there's a real owner. It is God. Amen. He has just allowed it. He has just put it in your hands. But there is a real honor. The one who made it to grow. So even as you are eating a mango, yes, you've paid for it, but there is a real honor. It's God. Praise God. Do you believe that? Now, the second thing he said was, my barns. What is a barn? A barn is a place where you store the fruit you've taken. Zipaso. Maize. You take. Now remember, it is God who gave you the fruit of maize. It is God who gave you the fruit of whatever you planted, tomato, whatever. So after you collect, you store it in a barn. And if you have a big harvest, you have a bigger barn. So when you visit a farm of a rich man, you see barns. You see big ones. And he's able to count. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. And people who pass by, when they see those barns, they see a rich man. A barn is a storehouse. It's a storage place where the fruit of labor is stored. And when the owner looks at a barn, it is a promise to him that he will have food tomorrow. Because a barn represents storage of plenty which you have. We keep it in a barn so that we can use it tomorrow, isn't it? Why do we put barns? So that we don't eat everything today. So a barn promises you there is tomorrow. And when people are making a barn, can you tell me, what things do you consider? Why do you put things in a barn? Why don't we just put it on the ground? Why don't we put our maize on the ground? Those who've lived in a farm life, why do we make a barn? What's the reason? Now the answer is simple. You want to protect your fruit. Now when you put things in a barn, you want it to be a good barn which protects it from insects, protects it from thieves, protect it from corruption. Because if you put them on the soil, some insects will start eating them up, right? So you want it to be well preserved. And no one is going to come and just get something from there. Because you will see that a thief wants to climb and get something. Well, some people make a barn which you can find underground. But the whole idea is to keep it well. Now, how would you feel if you had a big barn Then the following day, you find it broken. Thieves have stolen. Or maybe you discover that someone made a little hole in it. Or some animals. So, although you have a lot of maize there, they're stealing things out of there. That would be very bad. Now, hear me. All of us, we may not be farmers, but you have a barn. When you speak about a barn, it's a farmer's language. But do you know, even those who work in offices, they have barns. When they earn their money, the money is the fruit of their labors, right? So what is their barn? Where do they keep that money? They keep it in a bank account, right? That's a barn. It's a modern barn. Now imagine, maybe your account is Airtel money. Maybe you are the 500 kwacha. That is your barn. Next time you check, you find there's 100 kwacha. Your heart begins to beat. I had 500 kwacha in my Airtel money. Something wrong has happened. So it means your barn has been intruded. It has been compromised. Now, you know, there are some lazy people. They don't work hard. They just want to steal from another person's barn. How many have received a phone call and they say, I sent you some money in Airtel? Oh, how many have ever experienced that? And yet he's a thief. And they will even send a message to you. But it won't show it's coming from Airtel. It will just be a phone number. They just copy a message and then send it to you. And some people, they don't know that. So they'll enter their PIN so that they try to reverse the amount and only to see their money stolen. So there are thieves who try to steal from barns. But listen to the good news. If we are children of God, there is a certain promise in God's word how he can bless our barns. Now, let us go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. Storehouses means in thy barns. And in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. What do we learn from this? You can do your work. You can make a barn. But only God can truly protect and bless your barn. From harm, from danger, from corruption. As this rain season starts, may God bless the work of your hands. May God bless whatever works you do, whatever little you have in your account. He promises it, right? Now, let us see something different which happened. These people were having barns, but something bad was happening. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5.
Haggai 1, verse 5.
Let us go to Haggai chapter 1. And verse 5.
In that book we are Haggai, chapter 1, verse 5.
Yes. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with the drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes, or to put it in a barn with holes. So God says, consider your ways. Look at how you do things. Whatever you do, you are losing it. Now let us read Haggai 2 verse 14. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for the draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with the hail in all the labors of your hands, yet tend not to me, saith the Lord. Okay. And verse 18. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? God is asking. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yeah, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. So now here is something strange which used to happen. Someone would have in a barn maybe 50 maize, bags of maize. But when he comes, he finds 25. So there was a lot of loss. But here we need to see it is God who protects and blesses a barn. You can put security in your area, but it is really God who watches over us. So whatever works we do with our hands, let us not trust our efforts. At the end of your work day, you kneel down and you say, my Lord, you are the one who gave me strength today. Whatever little you receive at the end of the month, humble yourself before God and say, this which I've received, it is by your grace.
Amen.
Protect it for me. Multiply it for me. It means you are acknowledging God. Because look here, there is nothing you own in this world. Whatever God allows you to have in your hands, you are just a steward. He has just allowed you to hold those things for you to be a blessing to another person.
Amen.
Do you realize life is about living for another person? When you get married and you have children, you work very hard, but at the end of the month, do you buy a loaf of bread and you eat the whole lot of it and say, I worked hard on my own? Is that what we do in our homes? No, you just eat few slices from there. Another one eats from there. Another one eats from there. So you are just someone God has entrusted with a blessing, but which is a blessing for other people. You understand? So it is very dangerous to have pride. If God gives you a barn, you say, by the grace of God, I have this barn. You don't say, it's my barn. Because when God hears that, he can take it from your hands. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this was the problem with this rich man. He says, my fruits, my barns. He says, wow, I've had a big harvest. I'll pull down these small ones so that I make bigger ones. Now, it gets interesting. What's the third thing he said? My. He said, my goods. My goods. Let me tell you a little history about the word goods. Because usually we use the word good. No. When we use the word good, you say a good book. A good tomato. In business, again, the things we have, we call them goods. Where does the word good come from? I was reading a little history of the word good. And something interesting came up. When I was reading this scripture, a thought just came. Let me look into the word good. Now here is something interesting. The word good comes from a combination of Old English, Germanic language as well, or Scandinavian languages. And here is what the word means from its origin. The word good originally meant something beneficial. Or something righteous. So a long time ago, when people used the word good, there was a religious meaning in it. It meant something righteous, something beneficial. Now, let me surprise you. Do you know the word good? Now, can you spell the word good, all of you? Let me hear. It starts with the letter what? Then? Now. That's not how they used to spell it. They never used to spell it like that. Do you know how they used to spell good? It was G-O-D. And then O was pronounced with a long O sound. God. So the word was originally spelled as God with a long O sound. And when they used it, they were speaking about qualities of God. As God being merciful or benevolent, someone who is merciful, who is kind. So the word actually was a religious term. It started as God, but with time, in the 1400s, or right now we are in the 2000s, but when it was in the 1400s, that's when the word became detached from religious connotations. Today in economics, we now refer to goods as physical objects that satisfy human wants. So when someone is going to order things from the market, they say, I've gone to buy goods. But I need to tell you something. Goods of this world, they are still gods. A person who has a lot of money, he can buy a lot of, hello? And then people fear him. People can boast. People revere him. So, and others become depressed when they don't have many goods. So goods still control people as a god. Do you know that people lie? People even kill another person for the sake of getting money so that they can have more goods. Do you see the reason why I say goods are still gods? Goods are still gods. What did that rich man say? My? Let me tell you the real owner of whatever goods are in this world. I want to encourage you. Never become a slave to goods. Don't. No one in this world owns anything. If God has allowed you to have something, give glory to Him and praise Him. Fear God. But don't become attached to that good thing. Amen. Let us read Psalm 24, verse 1. Let's see here who is the owner of the goods. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Everything in this world belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness of it. So whatever we can have is to the glory of God. Amen. What is the fourth thing which he said, my? He said, my soul. And the question is, who owns the soul? Who owns the soul? Would have loved to write something here, but next Sunday we'll come with a board. But our desire is to get a plot around this area where the church will be put up. Amen. Where we can meet anytime we want. Where believers from Lusaka, from Rufunsa, from Chatama, and all these places, so that they can also come and fellowship with you. Amen. So, in this area, you hear someone is selling land, please just let us know. Praise God. Amen. Now, your soul has life in it. Now, your heart is pumping right now. Did anyone here write a letter to his parents that I want to be born? Did anyone choose to be born here? Anyone who asked the parents that I want to be born? Anyone who requested for it? You just found yourself in this world, right? Is that so? Does anyone here know the day you will die? The breath will just stop. So, do you think you own yourself?
Imamona mga umoyo mwanu.
It's not in our hands. There is a spirit of life in you, and it belongs to God. It belongs to God. Let's read Luke 16, verse 22. Luke 16, 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Actually, let me start from verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of souls. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, see what happened. Both the rich man and the poor man died. And when they died, they were no longer in control. The rich man had a big house. When he died, another person took that house. The rich man had authority. He had workers. You say, hey, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. But when he died, he was not in control. He entered a place which was not his. And he was full of fear. The poor man, he also died, and he was taken to where Abraham was. A good, wonderful place. Friends, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. We had a funeral, my family. I lost my grandmother. She died at 92 years old. It was quite a big funeral because she only had 8 children, but altogether she died leaving 39 grandchildren. And how many great grandchildren? 17, I think. 17 great grandchildren. And 5 great great grandchildren. Now, you know, at 92 years old, my grandmother had a good eyesight. If you come in the room, she knows you. Number 2, she had very good memory. She never lost a portion of her memory. 92 years old, even in her sickness, she knew her grandchildren. She knew all of us. She knew the last conversation you had. Quite amazing. Better memory than most young people. And you know, she feared God. She was so... one time she was asking, are the rains coming? And I told her, our people who read weather, these educated people, they are saying there won't be much rain. Hey, that was last year. She looked at me and she said, child, God has no secretary. She says, Aliye Kachara, Aliye Secretary. She strongly believed in that. She said, we live by his mercies. If he won't give us rain, or if it will come, but always remember, God has no secretary. And in pain, I remember one time she asked me, she says, why am I suffering like this? I'm in pain. I would want to go, to leave God to take me. And then she cried. She pointed up. She says,
she says, the owner is the one who knows.
He's the one who knows. I'm in his hands. You know, God blessed her both with physical blessings, but she was a very humble woman. She always taught us to fear God. I think it's a blessing when you see a person who has so much in their hands, but they humble themselves as though they have nothing. And they say, God is the one who knows. Such people usually will have a good heart of giving. And the more they give, the more God blesses them abundantly. Always love your neighbor as yourself. Before you do anything, think, if this person was me, how would they have felt? Amen. But this rich man, he wanted to delight his soul. He said, my soul. Now let me show you the fifth my. Now, when he said, my fruit, God was quiet. Because he's the one who gives us fruit. And we can choose whether to call it our own. He has given us that choice. But he knows he owns everything. He said, my bones. God was quiet. He's watching him. He said, my goods. God was watching. He was moving around his farm. Said, oh, how big my barns are. But I have a bigger harvest. I'll bring them down. I'll make bigger ones. When neighbors look, they'll see I'm a man. God was watching. And then he said, my soul, it will delight itself, you know. But when he mentioned the fifth thing, God said, thou fool. What's the thing? He didn't say it with his mouth. He said it by his intentions and by the words he spoke. Listen to what he said. Back to Luke chapter 12, and we'll close there. Verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Thou hast many goods laid up for many. He crossed the line. Do you think you can own the future? You think you can own time? Because he says, my fruit, my buns. He thought he could also say, my time. He says, I'll keep these fruits and I'll eat of it for many years. What's the day today? Sunday, right? Do you know whether you wake up tomorrow or not? You don't know. You don't own time. Amen.
Amen.
But see what he said? Thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Did you hear that? Whom is he telling? He's telling himself. He says, take thine ease. I like the way you interpreted it at first. Take thine ease means take your time. You will still live many years. And in these many years, you will enjoy your goods. Put in short, this man was saying, it's my time. I will enjoy. He was making his business plan. 1, 2, 3 buns. These 3 buns, I'll eat of them in the next 2 years. Those other buns, I'll eat of them in the next 3 years. He started counting time like it's him who made time. And then God said, thou fool. What did God say? Thou fool. But God said unto him in verse 20, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You are dying today. Hey, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. Time is in the hands of God. Let us close by reading Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 to 7. And Psalm 90, verse 12. I would want to read this in Amplified. Are you able to fetch that, Brother Nzima? In Amplified. Okay. I'll check. Online. Ecclesiastes 12, Amplified. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 to 7. Ah, there it is. Thank you. Ecclesiastes chapter
12
says, I want you to pay attention. It says, remember thoughtfully also your Creator in the days of your youth, for you are not your own. But his. Before the evil days come or the years draw near, when you will say of physical pleasures, I have no enjoyment and delight in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened by impaired vision. And the clouds of depression return after the rain of tears. In the day when the keepers of the house, the hands, arms tremble, and the strong men, your feet and knees, bow themselves, and the grinders, your molar teeth, cease. Because they are few. And those eyes who look through the windows grow dim. When the doors, your lips are shut in the streets. And the sound of the grinding of the teeth is low. And one rises at the sound of a bird and the crowing of a rooster, and all the daughters of music, your voice and ears sing softly. Verse 6, earnestly remember your Creator before the silver cord of life is broken. Or the golden bow is crushed. Or the pitcher at the fountain is shattered. Verse 7, then the dust out of which God made man's body will return to the earth, as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's a great passage of scripture. I read it in Amplified. Let us close with Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalms 90, verse 12. What is to number your days? It is to know every day of your life that you don't own your life. To know that God can call you at any time. And when you know that, you'll be humble in life. Okay, you know that the person you see in the hospital, one day it may be you. So whilst you are alive and you are breathing, fear God, give Him glory, spend times of joy with people, help those that you can help, live right. Don't live a life of lies. Live a life of integrity. But most importantly, surrender your life to God. Say, Lord, I am yours. Help me. Because He can't help you if you think you are full and you are on your own. Shall we stand? We don't want God to call us thou fool. We want Him one day to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Shall we bow our heads? Shall we close our eyes as we speak to the Lord? If you have a prayer request, you desire to be prayed for, just right where you are, you can raise your hand as I pray. You don't have to tell me what that is. God knows what your need is. You just raise your hand as our eyes are closed and I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, there are hands which have been raised, Lord, in this audience. And it's because someone has a need. They desire something from you. And now, Lord, I pray, may you meet them at their point of need. For we are not our own. You, O God, you own our breath and everything. Others are in need of health. Others are in need of your touch. Others are in need of a breakthrough. Lord, you know it. As we've gathered this day, our hearts rejoice. But now, Lord, may you breathe upon us. For when you breathe upon us, then we have victory. Then we have your blessings. This day, Lord, which we have started gathering here in a very humble way, may out of this gathering May you send forth an explosion of faith.
Yes, Lord.
That will shake this land. Even as you did in Chatama, even as you did in Rufunsa. You know your people, Lord, who are in all these different settlements. There are souls which are in need, and only you can break chains of darkness. That person who desires to have a candle of light, but they don't have any flame on them, Lord, we pray, may you send forth your spirit to cause your light to shine, even as we desire to have a crusade in this place. Lord, may you open our eyes and our ears that if it pleases you, O God, you shall speak and reveal it to our hearts, and we know that you shall do a great mighty work. Above all, Lord, we pray, may you give us a piece of land where your name can be glorified and lifted up. Your name, and not a name of any human being, not a name of any organization, but the name of the Lord Jesus, that it shall be exalted and glorified and lifted up. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand. So may the Lord richly bless you. We'll be meeting twice. On Thursday.
Thursday
it will be in the evenings. So we'll be meeting from 18 to 19 hours, just 1 hour. Amen. And then on Sunday, 9 hours to about 11:30 to 12 hours.
9 hours to 11:30 to 12 hours.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
So may the Lord richly bless us all.
Amen.
This is our first day of meeting. So we are yet to make a pulpit, to make this place in a manner that it will be joyful being here. And we trust God is going to bless us. Amen.
Amen.